Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, which is a hilarious meditation on the workings of friendship, fate, shared futuristic visions, and that funny feeling you get when there's something off somewhere, but you just can't put your finger on it. Thank you for joining us.
The Rock from the Sky by John Clausen is...
Picture book?
It's a bit that feels like it's a novel. That feels like
it does. Yeah, I thought we had branched out.
Netflix
I was like
series.
Certain.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well done.
John Clausen. This guy, hey, did he do Stuck? I wonder, maybe not. I don't know. There was this one of the funniest picture books of all time is this book called Stuck.
Yeah. Picture
it's
book.
Not only pictures.
Hilarious meditation.
Well, all right. Yeah. Love it. We Love are indeed a hilarious meditation. Too.
Okay, I'm going to get right into my first one. Both of mine this week relate to Las Vegas, where I was this weekend. But this first one isn't because of that trip, nor is it directly related to Las Vegas. However, Molly, it's the bankruptcy of meaning in the word residency.
Now, really?
If anyone doesn't follow this, residency used to apply to, you know, Debbie Miller or Barry Manilow is going to set up shop at the Las Vegas Hilton. Elvis, right. You know, had a residency.
Zabai Tigas, Siegfried right. and Roy. Uh-huh.
Absolutely. And it's like, if you come to Vegas, they'll be doing a show. They are residents of that hotel casino.
Okay.
Residency lately has started to... shorten. So people have done year-long residencies, which I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I guess a year, that's a pretty long time.
You move a lot of stuff. Yeah. Yeah,
in a year. You live somewhere for a year, you're a resident, temporary, I guess, but a resident. Las Vegas has started to do short-term residencies that are interrupted. Adele's a bad example because she keeps having to cancel her residency because of health issues. But Adele's plan was to do like a few months and then a few months off and then come back for a few months. I'm like, that's not really a residency. That's like,
right.
That's like a vacation home.
That's just recurring appearances.
Yeah,
is what
exactly.
That is.
But this one caught my eye, earlier this month, a folk artist named Joanna Newsom announced a residency at the Masonic Lodge at Hollywood Forever from May 15th through the 19th.
Wait, what?
Five shows.
Okay.
It's a five-night solo residency in Los Angeles.
See, no. Uh-uh. No.
Like, no, that's you're just doing five shows. I mean, Harry Styles did 10
laundry.
Shows at the Forum, and that was not a residency.
This is so interesting. I love it. It's also interesting because everybody I know something has been talking about Bruno Mars and MGM and his residency at MGM, which may in fact be less of a residency and more of a indentured servitude situation, which has raised a lot of questions about, I mean, it's just funny because it means that people are having these conversations about residency and how you get one in it, why and whatever, but a four night tour stand, five appearances,
because there's a matinee in there.
Oh my god, that's so weird, huh? I'm fascinated by this, and I want to know why and where,
yeah.
and where it's coming from, and why.
I feel like my guess. This is just a guess. My guess is it's that classic, you know, branding creep, where somebody's like, "Ooh, well, what if we call it a residency?" That sounds and that's when the year one we're like, "Well, can we call it a residency?" Like, "Yeah, it's a year." And then once it's a year, "Well, can we call it a residency?" Well, it's almost a year, and then it just keeps getting shorter and shorter.
Then they're like, "Sure, five
say,
days.
Well, it's almost the same thing," and then 5 days becomes a residency.
That's amazing. Mission creep. Nothing has any meaning anymore.
Eventually, all meaning goes to zero.
Exactly.
Especially in Las Vegas.
Well, you probably texted me about this thing, but I didn't see it because my phone was on Do Not Disturb, and I hope you didn't feel rejected.
You know, I see so many people that I'm talking with that are in Do Not Disturb, like, because it tells you they're in Do Not Disturb, and it's like, okay, but we're talking, so how not disturbed are you trying to be right now?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so this is a little bit of thingception on my part. It's basically like a thing that is bubbling. The Atlantic, much to my disappointment, has yet to write the millennial think piece about it because everybody's too distracted by Elon Musk or whatever. But I believe that they will soon because a couple things have happened. One, Apple, something about the new iOS settings mean that people are often on Do Not Disturb and they don't know. And I don't know why. But as a result, and then, there's just been more awareness of it overall, and you can like change the button to be Do Not Disturb. So like people are accidentally ending up on Do Not Disturb a lot. Even I have on occasion, sometimes I text myself stuff, like a note to self, kind of just to, especially if I want to text an Android person, I text it to myself first, like from my computer. It's an absurd system, but I will occasionally pull it up and be like, well, I'm not on Do Not Disturb. What's going on? So, first of all, there's the part where people are more frequently on Do Not Disturb. Then this has started to evolve into a set of sociological responses, namely rejection. You like, especially if, God forbid, you text somebody and then you see the Do Not Disturb come on. And then the insecure among us are like, oh, you hate me.
Yeah.
I'm dead too. I saw this happen with my son and his girlfriend just the other day. She was like blowing up his phone while he was trying to do homework and he put Do Not Disturb on. She was like, oh, you put me on D&D. And it was a thing.
Yeah.
And so the piece hasn't appeared yet, but I am calling it now because feelings of rejection and insecurity related to Do Not Disturb is a thing.
I mean, you should write that thing like right now.
I should. Exactly. Yeah. I was going to write it, but I decided it was faster to talk about it.
That's why we do it this way, because I'm the same way. But it's so much faster to just talk about it on the podcast.
Just so much faster.
That is so good. You are like definitely ahead of this. And yes, The Atlantic or McSweeney's or somebody is going to have this within the week now. But it's so ripe for that, right? Because there is the plausible situation that probably sometimes happens where you are about to take a nap or do some homework or watch a movie and you throw the Do Not Disturb on and then realize someone just texted you, right? Or maybe you don't even notice that someone just texted you. But to that person, it looks like I texted them and then they threw on Do Not Disturb, which of course leaves the ability for someone to do it on purpose and go, oh, I didn't notice your text came in, even though they're totally lying.
And before it became so widespread and the awareness of the feelings about it started to just grow and bubble like a little underground seismic activity, it felt fine to get a text at 2:59 and be headed into a 3 p.m. meeting and just throw on the Do Not Disturb.
Right. Totally.
But now I know that there's this seismic bubble of feelings. And so I stress it. And sometimes I don't put Do Not Disturb on right away, even though I'm in a meeting and then I got to like put it on later.
It has
like
increased the stress. It has doubled the stress. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Like Do Not Disturb used to be helpful because you could give yourself some peace. But now the peace is at the expense of knowing that there's somebody on the other end. Like I know one person who always has Do Not Disturb on. And it is like there are feelings. It creates feelings. Like you're just like, fine, I guess you don't want to hear from me. Like, you know, fine. Yeah. Who knows when you'll even get this? I guess I better not send you anything important because it's always on all the time. And it's like an accident. He's like, it's an accident.
And then there's the opposite side, which is I have a friend. I'm just going to call him John Scottson. I feel like he's always got Do Not Disturb on. Like he just leaves it on. Like it's probably not true, but like every time I'm texting with him, it's on Do Not Disturb, which makes me feel special. Because I'm like, oh, he's on Do Not Disturb. Oh,
because he's answering
you. He's still chatting with me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yes. Well, and then recently, this friend who is always on Do Not Disturb, another friend called him out and was like, dude, why do you have this on all the time? You can't be bothered to hear from me. And I was like, wait. Now we've graduated to like, you can say something about it?
Yeah. Yeah. Do Not Disturb
is maybe you
broken by society, finally.
It's been utterly broken by society. Exactly. Like, society has caught up with Do Not Disturb, and now we're going to have a new mechanism, and Apple's going to have to figure something else out, like Do Not Disturb, but with special exceptions for the girlfriend.
Like, yeah. WWDC, it's the Do Not Disturb exception list. Yes. Oh, man. Yeah. I 100%. Don't use
now. I'm gonna have to write this because I'm gonna be really mad when the Atlantic does it.
Do Not Disturb is always asking me if I would like to turn it on. Like, oh, you're going into a concert. Would you like to turn it on? I never say it because I don't know how it works. Like, I know how it works, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, well, if I turn it on, how long is it going to be on? Am I have to remember to turn it off? Like, so I'm like, I just don't use it except at night. I have the setting that says after 11 p.m. before 6 a.m. do not disturb forever.
Oh, see, I use it because I'm just ADHD enough that I will get distracted in a meeting by texts coming in and just be like, and so I programmed the button, the action button to be do not disturb. And I was always using it during radio tapings and things like that because you can't have like a noise come in. So I've been a pretty diligent DND user for many years, meaning that I'm really good at turning it off. But two things have happened. One, I do think that there is something happened in iOS where it's on all the time. Like, I remember having this conversation with my friend Christine. Yeah. She was like, I don't know that I'm on Do Not Disturb, you know, because I think it was automatically turning it on during meetings. It's like trying to be helpful. So I think it's been more common and on by accident. And then people who are newer to it don't know how to turn it off or don't, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's it's ruining our, it's introduced another layer of anxiety and insecurity in an already insecure world.
It's enough to drive you to drink your ice cream.
Wait, what?
So I went to see a concert in Las Vegas this weekend, and I was bemoaning before the show that I'm like, I went to this concert and I didn't come back with things. Like, how could I be among that many people and not notice a thing? And so I'm thinking back, and then I remembered, oh, wait, I did see a thing in the concession area at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I bought two waters because it was a short line for the alcoholic ice cream.
Come on.
Now, this is not just like a root beer float with a shot in it, although it's honestly not far from that.
Yeah.
But Tipsy Scoop is liquor infused ice cream.
Oh my gosh. I just looked it up. Wow. Oh, I mean, they went and did it. They really freaking did.
Yeah. So vanilla bean bourbon, chocolate whiskey salted caramel, strawberry sangria sorbet.
I mean, yum.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't hate this. I know, I'm like, yummy.
Yeah.
It feels counterintuitive since we're all, you know, since people are so sober curious now, but also it sounds kind of delicious.
Well, I wonder if the sober culture is part of this, right? Because in our era, the Gen X era, alcoholic ice cream, just drink your drink. Right.
Right.
But
right.
Now it's like, well, I'm trying to cut back, but a little alcoholic ice cream. I mean, I'm eating food with it. Maybe that's better. Right. For the people on the edge, the people who are not drinking at all aren't going to be swayed by it. But if you're like, you know, I really should be cutting back. Well, I'll just have a little alcoholic ice cream. Right. That's better. Right. Because I'm eating ice cream. It's just got a little booze in it.
It's true. I mean, I would mess up some tequila Mexican hot chocolate from Tipsy Scoop.
It also sounds incredible. Delicious.
It sounds delicious. I was so prepared to be horrified by this. And now I'm like, I want that. I want to buy some for my house.
I was just trying to find a short line to get water. And I was very tempted. Like, I was that close to getting one. Hilariously, the flavor that caught my eye was non-alcoholic. And I only knew that because someone in front of me was ordering and they're like, you know, that one's non-alcoholic, right? And I was like, wait, you have non-alcoholic ones too? Which of course makes sense because there's going to be people who just want ice cream. But I was like, oh, well, forget it then. But yeah.
Yeah. And apparently it really is a thing. I found an article in The Thrillist about seven boozy ice cream brands. Yeah. Most of them, you know, not all of them are still around, but that one is.
Oh, boozy ice cream.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Boozy ice cream. the quiet twist on Sober Curious. Just get it from your food.
And at the stadium. That was the part that was like, that's definitely a thing if you're selling it at the stadium, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't get into the stadium if you're just like trying something out. So,
right.
Yeah.
Dang, good one. I'm going to be looking for that everywhere. Apparently, I didn't really even realize, but now have to be on the lookout all the time in case a cat chooses me.
Why?
Because evidently the universal cat distribution system is a thing.
So this is how cats distribute themselves to people?
This is how they distribute themselves to people. Apparently, cats just show up. And I know this, right? Yeah. There is this kind of cliche about how cats just show up, mm-hmm. or they just start rubbing up on you on the street, or they move into your house and they don't leave, and that's the deal. And a while ago, maybe about a year ago, I think, somebody, end of 2022, someone coined the phrase cat distribution system.
Okay, this is great.
Hermes the Cynic. And now, I just see, and now there's other animal distribution systems, cats mostly, because they are the ones who just basically are in charge and are I live here now.
No, we have a cat who we call Blackpink, who lives in our yard.
Who just showed up.
Yeah. And has been here since before we moved into this house. Like, we moved into its house. So it shows this house and it's like, yeah, I live here. So
I live here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cats choose their owners. And then this person came up with this amazing phrase for it, the universal cat distribution system. And brilliant. I see it all over reels. I see it in TikToks all the time. And I just finally was like, I gotta put a pin in it. I gotta take note of the fact that having coined this at the end of 2022, that now at the beginning-ish of 2024, it has hit. Yeah. Like, people have taken this phrase and run with it. And cats are just out here choosing.
I mean, cats choose you the most. You're totally right about that. But even when you go to adoption for dogs or goats, I don't know if they do goat adoption. I was trying to think of another example besides dogs. But
I hope they do.
Please, if you know about goat adoption, send us pictures. Let's just keep it a dog. You go to dog adoption, like, the dogs choose you.
Yeah.
You might think you're not. The dog is choosing you.
Totally. And then they're just so cute. Like, all the cat distribution videos are so freaking cute.
Yeah.
And there's like not that much else to say about it, except that if you're looking for a really heartwarming hashtag, like, there was the guy who's the basketball player where there were just like a bunch of stray cats. I think he played in like Belarus in the off season or something. And there were a bunch of stray cats in the locker room. Oh, and one of them just was like, "You're mine now."
So not Rick Mahorn in Dearborn, someone else.
No, someone else. And he was just like, "I guess I have this cat now because cat distribution system."
Wow, cat distribution system, so good. Yeah, the other day Blackpink was laying in our front yard, and we hadn't seen him lately because of all the rain. And Eileen came running in. She's like, "Look, look, look! There was a tabby cat just like standing, looking at Blackpink. Blackpink's laying under one of our bushes, just staring, not moving. And the tabby just eventually like." Kind of was like, okay, and just kept walking.
Just slinked away. Like, okay, fine.
We're like, are they going to, do that cat fight over their turret? No. Like, Blackpink just stared him down. Like, get along. Yeah. This is my bush.
I've chosen. This See is mine.
Mm-hmm. And take advantage of another part of the distribution system, please.
Exactly. It kind of, to me, it's like it's in the same vein as sort of like the videos about how the dogs just share one brain cell and it's not your day today. Mm. It's like it's of similar kind of cuteness and adoption to that. And
I love this so much.
We also have a thing to check in on.
Oh, yeah. Let's check back.
Because once in a while, what happens on this show, I don't mean to brag, but what happens on the show is we are occasionally hella early to a thing.
Ridiculously early.
Pretty ridiculously early. I would say we hit it on season one of its debut, mm-hmm. Back in our season 8, and that thing is Love is Blind.
Yeah.
I became obsessed with Love is Blind in season 1, and I brought it to the show. And then I admit that I sort of forgot about it. And while I forgot about it, it became a freaking cultural phenomenon. And no one can stop talking about it. And so when I was like, we should check in on this and say, well, I was like, did we already do it? And we determined that. So then I did a little, like I do, late last minute duck, duck, go. Avatar and Love is Blind have dominated the Nielsen streaming charts in the last week with 2 billion plus minutes viewed.
Wow.
Yeah. There are tons
Avatar,
of...
Avatar, not the James Cameron Avatar, but the Netflix series based on the anime Avatar.
Exactly. The live action adaptation. Yeah. Which I do kind of want to watch. Love is Blind has been bananas. I've seen tons of social posts about it. And I didn't see this coming. Thingvergence. Travis Kelce is evidently a fan.
Oh.
But he's a hate watcher, which I kind of love. And he was doing like an impression of one of the contestants. And then she had to respond to it, which I'm sure only catapulted it to further thingdom. This is literally, by the way, as of today, like that Chelsea Blackwell has a message for Taylor Swift after Travis Kelce reveals he's a Love is Blind fan slash hate watcher.
I wonder if he watches it with his girlfriend.
I wonder. He described it as the worst trash ever. But so effing good.
Uh-huh.
And then he went on to do an impression of this woman who's on the show.
Never,
saying, am I clingy?
Never have so many Love is Blind fans feel so unseen as when Travis Kelce says
because that. It is both of those things in exactly equal measure. Like equal amount alcohol to ice cream. That's Love is Blind.
Perfect. Yeah, didn't get smaller since we called it a thing.
No.
In season 8. Let's get to your things. Feedback at itsathing.me. Sean wrote in on retailer branded merch. Greetings, Tom and Molly. I respond to Costco merch. Aldi is getting into the game.
Oh.
And then set a screen cap of the March 20th to 26th flyer. Well, it's not a screen cap. It's a picture of the flyer. Best dressed Aldi fan and t-shirts and jogging pants and shoes, all with the Aldi logos on them.
Okay, that's I think we talked about the Aldi slides when Kirkland did the slides.
Yeah.
But man, Aldi is all the way in the game with
all
the gear.
The way.
I kind of want to see like a cage match or something. You know, or like a festival where it's like Costco versus Aldi. Like, I don't know. I just somehow want to go shop and wear gear and pick my favorite team.
One of the reasons you really need to be a patron is so that you can be in the Discord when Rich posts a picture of his wife fashion modeling all of the Aldi clothes they own.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's so good.
I mean, we got some Aldi gear from the Stroffs. From the Straffolino fam.
Oh, yeah. No, I love my warm little, Aldi hat. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing. Liz has a new word thing, and I am super mad because I knew this one. It's like the connections. I knew that one. Hi, Thing Team. Suddenly, it's not laying in bed. It's not lounging on the couch. It's rotting. I know. I've seen this everywhere. I can't believe I never thought to bring it to It's a Thing. Meaning, she writes, just absolutely mindlessly scrolling and being the laziest lump you can be. I heard it for the first time a couple weeks ago, and now it's in my feed like once a day. Love ya. Mean it.
Oh, love you too, Liz. That's so good.
Rotting. Like, that is completely a thing.
I'm just going to say a good that spot. All the time now.
Yeah. Yep. I'm just rotting.
I'm just rotting. And then so that Charlie dude confirmed producer Rich's thing from the bonus content. He said, hey, Rich, on my pleasure, it's a Chick-fil-A thing. I always hear it at Chick-fil-A.
That's a good one. That's a good call. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yep.
To which Rich replied to that Charlie dude, thank you. And that Charlie dude said, my pleasure. I'm guessing. I don't know if that actually happened.
One assumes but it had to have gone
that
way.
I would think that would happen. Yeah.
As if it is not reason enough to become a patron to get to see pictures of our producer's wife in Aldi gear. Should you choose to support the show at patreon.com/itsathing at the shout out level, you will get to participate in our favorite game of the week. What more creative ways could Rich possibly come up with for us to shout you out? This week's shout outs are based on answers on music.stackexchange to the question, what is the difference between portamento and glissando? I know.
Feels like it would be a Google search unless you're on Music Stack Exchange, and then right. It could be a heated argument.
It's a discussion.
Yeah. All right, kick us off.
Although the two patrons are often conflated, and although there are plenty of situations where Brian Gianfarcaro isn't noticeable, the intended difference is that Morris Jones is a relatively quick Jake Woods slide between all or most of the notes during a Gabrielle Cohen or Laura Abel section. The Benjamin Morris slot. The Benjamin Forrest slide tends to come only at the very end of AJ Venturella, more or less during the articulation change into the next Baylor trucks.
How,
obviously.
AB Puppy is a far more deliberate Eric Duncan that generally lasts for a significant part of the duration of the initial Lee Price on its way to the new Louis St. Amour. In short, Kevin Sill is a relatively subtle effect that tends to apply to the overall Joe Hood, while Mike Akins tends to be a more dramatic James C. Smith, shifting that is usually only done between two patrons, where it is explicitly notated.
If you say so.
Yeah, you and your... trouble clef. I don't know.
Rich reports that indeed it got heated.
It did. As one would expect.
Bravo to producer Rich as always. Bravo to all of you who support the show. Patreon.com/itsathing. You're the best. Join us in the Discord. The best reason to hang out with us live every week and get an ad-free RSS feed.
You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Look for those in the show notes or at our shopping page. itsathing.me/shop. And keep those emails coming. Feedback at itsathing.me. We want your things.
We want your things in a cool way, not a porny way. Okay, see you next week. Okay, bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.